Hey, welcome to the Out of My Playlist podcast. I have one of my bass heroes here on the podcast today. This is a fun episode for me. Back in the 80s, the 80s, I was following along with this musician's career and very excited to have him on the podcast. My guest today is one of those musicians that helped create the desire to play the bass guitar for me. So I'm really excited to have him on the podcast today. So I'm really excited about this chat today with my guest. His name is Rick Kua, and he's here on the podcast with me today. He started off his musical career early days playing with a band called The Outlaws. He went on to do his own solo career. He did a lot in the Christian music scene. Some of my earlier albums that I love from Rick was Wear Your Colors and You're My Road. I can remember trying to decipher his bass lines without the help of YouTube or tabs or any of that back in the day. So it's kind of cool to have him on the podcast. Rick is here to talk today about his music, but he's also an author. So if you're interested in that, we had him on the Living the Next Chapter podcast as well. So you can head over there and you can get the other part of the interview where we kind of talk about his author career. So here we go. This is Rick Kua here on the Add to My Playlist podcast. I hope you're going to enjoy this as much as I do. I'm really excited to talk to Rick, so here we go. Okay, everyone, I have one of my musical heroes with me today, one of my favorite bass players, and he's here with me. Rick Kua is here with me. Rick, I've been following Rick's career for many, many years. Very inspirational, and has helped me in my musical career so much. So I'm really excited to have Rick Kua here on the Add to My Playlist podcast. Welcome, Rick.
Thank you, David. Great to be with you today, for sure.
It's awesome. So yes, musically, I have been following you since the 80s. The 80s, yes.
Yeah.
And loving you in concert, following your albums and your musical career. I really do appreciate you making time for today. We're going to talk about your book over on the Living the Next Chapter podcast.
Great.
But can you talk a little bit about becoming an author and where the inspiration began for you to start writing? Did it happen back during your musical career? Can you kind of give us a little bit of background into becoming an author?
Yeah, well, you know, it really started a while back. I spent a lot of time on airplanes, and the first book I ever wrote was a book called Songs to Live By. And I wrote that book entirely on an airplane. I had an old Toshiba, one gig laptop. And every time I take a trip, I'd write a new chapter, and I would write it behind all the songs, the song titles. I had a record out that was kind of like a greatest hits record called Songs to Live By, and I wrote a kind of a companion book to go with it. And then back in, I don't know, 10 years ago or more, I started writing for a magazine. It was a Christian musician magazine. And every month I'd write an article for them. And it was basically for musicians and about music. But what wound up happening is I started writing heart things. And then that just led me to just say, you know what, I've got to repurpose some of those writings and add to it and write a book called Songs to Live By, that was building your legacy one brick at a time.
So this is Dave jumping in here. I just want to send you over to Living the Next Chapter. If you want to hear more about Rick's writing career, the whole podcast will be there. LivingTheNextChapter.com is where you can find that. We'll put links in the show notes to Rick's episode on Living the Next Chapter. Rick and I recorded this part of the episode together and did it all at one time. So we recorded Living in the Next Chapter podcast, and then we recorded the Add My Playlist podcast to honor Rick's time. He was so gracious with his time. So we're going to switch over now to our conversation around his musical career. And again, if you're interested in the rest of the story, head over to livingthenextchapter.com. But here we go, picking up about Rick's music career and switching gears now into our Add to My Playlist podcast, which is why you're here. So thanks for listening. Here's more on Rick's musical career and our background as fan and musical artist. Great conversation with Rick. Here we go. Okay, so if that doesn't make you happy, what does? That is Rick Kua on bass, on stage with Blues Council, an amazing collection of guitarists. I'll put a link in the show notes where you can go watch the video. Amazing to see Rick up on stage with artists who perform with some of the biggest names in music, all together celebrating music, multiple guitars. But the one thing to keep in mind, on that stage in the video that I have linked in the show notes, there's only one, yes, there's only one bass player on stage and multiple guitar players. And that's why bass players are awesome, because there's only one. And I know most people are like, when a bass solo happens, they're like, eh. But I love bass guitar, and I've been playing it for many, many years. And Rick is my inspiration in music. And I remember seeing him when I was younger and dissecting and pulling apart how he played and everything. So I get, it's a great opportunity for me to talk to Rick. And again, here we go. I'm going to jump into the interview. Again, this is recorded alongside of our Living the Next Chapter podcast. So these kind of go together, and you'll kind of hear some references back and forth between the two. Again, links in the show notes for the other part of the podcast. But here we're jumping into the Add to My Playlist musical side of Rick's career and switching gears from his author journey. Again, check out the other podcast if you're interested in that. And here we go. We're going to talk music with Rick and pick up the conversation mid-progress as we go along here. So thanks for being part of the podcast. Here we go with Rick.
Yeah, it's exciting to have you on the podcast, Rick. Again, it's a little surreal to see you come down off the stage and have time with you to talk about your book. It's great. I really appreciate your time.
I wish I could go back in time for those moments where I was doing a concert and you were in that audience. And when, even that moment when I signed that, whatever I signed for you.
So jumping in here, I had shown Rick before we came on to record, I have a little black book with autographs that I had collected when I was a lot younger. And on page one of my autograph book, and I'll put an image on my social media for you of what I'm talking about. But Rick signed my book when I was a youngster, and I remember him being so gracious with his time. And again, as a new bass player, he was so inspirational, and he signed my little book, and he was my first autograph in my little book of autographs. And so I put it up on the camera, and he was so blown away to see his own autograph in my little book. And so it was a little moment. That's what he's referring to as we talk. I just wanted to jump in and share that so you have some context. But head over to the website and link in the show notes, and you can actually see his autograph. So there you go. So we'll jump back into what he's talking about here.
I love that. Oh, my gosh. I recognize that handwriting. Oh, and you know, David, listen, you are, what you're doing is so valuable for the kingdom of God. You are talking to folks. You've taken time to do these different podcasts, and you are spreading the word. You're putting the word out there as you partner with other people, but with your own thoughts and, you know, with the with what the Holy Spirit's put on your heart and mind, even the questions that you ask. And I've always felt, you know, as the word says, we're one body, many members. We are all valued and we are all needed, everyone. Somebody does a podcast, somebody plays the bass and writes a book or two. You know, we're all doing the same thing, loving our families, loving God, and not just sitting down, letting life go by us. We are in that stream for Christ. And I just absolutely love that.
I love it. Okay. So before you go for dinner, which I'm so thankful that you have time to talk to me, I would love to switch gears. Let's talk a little bit about music. I got to nerd out on music. I've been playing music for 42 years. So, and I've been, again, like I mentioned, to many of your shows.
Yeah.
We come to Ontario, Canada. And I remember you up on stage. There's Rick Kua. Bass guitar and no band, but you played the tracks and you were just amazing to watch up on stage.
Oh,
entertaining. You had the crowd with you and the music sounded great. And you'd go off and do little things on your bass, and I'd be in the crowd going, I'm going to play bass guitar. That's it. Oh, I'm going to play bass guitar.
So, I love that.
So I remember you coming very often. And for me, when I look back musically for you, 1986, 1985, you're My Road and Wear Your Colors. Every time I hear Flex, you know, just, anyways, there's so many songs that I love, from your catalog. I would love if we could talk maybe about, if we could narrow it to two songs.
Okay.
And I would love to hear a story behind a song. I'm going to let you pick the songs because you wrote them. You pick the songs, and what we're doing is we're going to invite people to add these to their playlist. So let's pick two songs, and we'll talk a little bit about the story behind the song, and then we're going to invite people to add them to their playlist here on Spotify. So let's pick one song. Let's go off of Wear Your Colors. Okay.
Yes.
Iconic cover for an album.
Yeah.
You with the frilly, all the stuff on your coat there, and the bass up in the air. I love it. Can you tell me a little bit about something from Wear Your Colors?
Okay. Besides the fact that that was the three Advils photo shoot. So.
Okay.
Like that.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Wear Your Colors. You know, I mean, my music, and the guys, my co-writer buddies, you know, Bob Halligan Jr. and I, we wrote probably 80% of what I recorded over all of those albums. And we were all anthem guys. We wanted that big rock anthem. And with Wear Your Colors, we wanted to let people know, hey, don't hide who you are. Don't hide it under a bushel. Don't be ashamed. You know, the scripture, it's in three of the Gospels, I believe, Mark 8:38, for whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, I too will be ashamed of him when I come in the glory of my Father with the holy angels. And when I read that, I realized that I wasn't wearing my colors for Christ. And it doesn't mean that I wasn't called to be the Bible thumper on the corner. Some people are, and people got saved with that young man or young woman or older man or older woman. I wasn't called to that, but I realized I was not, the way I was acting, maybe it spoke to that scripture. Maybe I was ashamed. I was okay being a Christian with other Christians, but then I had to be my cool musician self or whatever with other folks. And that changed everything for me. And it's like, yeah, lift the banner high. Let people know who you are. Wear your colors for Jesus. And that was something that absolutely, it could preach and it could sing. And that was a song that just was, it did pretty well at radio, and the kids in the concerts loved it all, and I loved playing it.
So here we go. This is on Add to My Playlist podcast. This is Rick Kua, Wear Your Colors. Great to hear the story behind the song. Go ahead. Please add this to your Spotify playlist. Click the little heart button. The song is now going to play if you're here on Spotify with us. Thank you for joining us. And if you're outside of Spotify, we will make sure we have in the show notes a link to the YouTube video and all that, so you can still enjoy the song and still enjoy the podcast. But thank you to everyone listening. This is Rick Kua. So if you, like me, back in the 80s, you were following Rick Kua and you got a chance to see him live or buy his albums and all that, or got an autograph like I have, please enjoy Wear Your Colors by Rick Kua here on the Add to My Playlist podcast. Here we go. Hit that little button. Here we go. Hey guys, just jumping on here quick. This is the Add to My Playlist podcast. My name is Dave. If you go to our website, truemediasolutions.ca/add to my playlist, you can now leave us a voicemail and we'll put you on the podcast. Yes, you can be on the podcast. We would love to have you on. Leave us a message when you go there. This is what it sounds like. I recorded one. I'm going to insert it right here so you can hear what it sounds like. Leave us a message. Tell us what your favorite episode was. Who else should we talk about on the podcast? Who should we have as a guest? You tell us. Your voice on our podcast. I love this. Here we go. This is what it sounds like. So I'm over here on truemediasolutions.ca/add to my playlist.
I'm on the website for the Add to My Playlist podcast. I see a great video looking for guests. I see all kinds of great stuff here about the Add to My Playlist podcast. And then there's this button. It says, leave us a message. We want to hear from you. A podcast that wants to hear from its listeners? OMG. Yes, you can go to truemediasolutions.ca/add to my playlist. And you can click the link and record a message, which we will include in our podcast. Do you want to hear your voice in the podcast? Leave us a comment. Leave us a suggestion. Hey, if you have a song that you want to hear featured on the Add to My Playlist podcast, record it right here on the website. We'll use you in the episode, and we'll give you full credit. Go to truemediasolutions.ca/add to my playlist. Hit the button. Record a message, and we'll put you on the podcast. Thanks for listening to the Add to My Playlist podcast. So head over to truemediasolutions.ca/add to my playlist. Leave us a voicemail. Very simple. Come on, don't wait. We want to hear from you. Thanks. Okay, so we're back with Rikua here on the Add to My Playlist podcast. And we're going to continue the conversation and music and all this. A thrill for me as a host and a musician to talk to another bass player, to talk music, to talk Rick's career. Rick is super connected in the music space, and some of my other artists that I really enjoy, Phil Keggy and Randy Stonehill, and the list goes on and on and on. Steve Camp was another autograph in my autograph book, and you know, Rick toured with Steve Camp. There's so many connections that Rick has musically, and he is an amazing guest to have on the show. So I hope you're enjoying this. Let's pick up our conversation with Rikua, and let's talk more music. Here we go. And what I like here is we pick up the conversation. Rick talks about gear, and as a musician, podcasters, we all love gear. We love to upgrade. We love to get the best of the best of the best. And Rick talks here a little bit about his bass guitar that he used on tour and how much he paid for it and why it was important to him to have the instrument that he had so that it portrayed a message to the audience. And I picked up on that message as a listener and a fan back in the 80s and 90s, and it worked. It really, really worked, so I can testify to this. But here, let's pick up the conversation with Rick.
And one of the thing about things, David, about being a bass player is that some of those songs, I never wanted my bass parts to be so difficult that somebody couldn't imagine doing it themselves. You know, there was a point where I went and I got with Yamaha, and I could have got one of those expensive basses, but I got a bass. I think it was a BB300. It was a black bass that I used on that tour as well. And it was something that cost $300. And any kid in that audience could look at what I'm playing and say, hey, I could save up and get that. And I could play like that guy plays. You know, that was important to me. And yes, there's a time where we all love to strut our stuff a little and get a little more complicated. But mostly, man, the thing that warmed my heart was knowing that there was kids in that audience, young people like you and others, that could look at what I'm doing and say, I can do that too. So that was pretty valuable. And songs like Wear Your Colors or Flex, the whole Wear Your Colors record was pretty filled with those kind of anthems. And You're My Road, and that record as well, you know?
You're My Road was an amazing song for me. I'd love for people to add that one to their Spotify playlist. So You're My Road, great tune. Again, title track from your album. And just the song was really one of those songs that for me, I had to keep listening to on repeat. And that was one of the songs that I used to work on my bass skills, like you talked about, and learn. And again, I love the fact that you talk about having a bass that people can buy and purchase and not be too expensive, and inspiring the next generation of artists. So You're My Road, Inviting everyone to add this one to your Spotify playlist. And again, if you're listening outside of Spotify, thank you. And you can check out the video for You're My Road over on YouTube and links in the show notes. You're My Road, Rick Kua on the Add to My Playlist podcast. Please go ahead and add this to your playlist. Hey, thanks for dropping by the Add to My Playlist podcast. This is the external version of our podcast for non-Spotify listeners. But if you go to Spotify and sign up, you can actually hear the song played here in the podcast without leaving. It's great. Otherwise, you can check us out on YouTube. We'll have links to the songs that we're speaking about within the podcast that you can click on and hear the songs there on YouTube. But thank you so much for listening to the Add to My Playlist podcast. Jump over to Spotify and check us out over there and see what you think. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you soon. Okay, so that was You're My Road by Rick Kua, our guest today here on the Add to My Playlist podcast. I asked Rick about his shows and his philosophy behind doing shows and fan interaction and all that. And again, I'm talking from experience. I have his autograph right here in my book. He did make time for people, and I wanted to know why that was important to him. And then we talk a little bit as well about one of his cohorts in music. And yeah, but here's Rick talking about just the interaction with fans and what that meant to him as a musician.
Well, David, it was my joy. I mean, the best. We used to tell people we're the first ones in to the venue and we're the last ones out, because I in my heart, and me and my band guys, all of us, we didn't want anybody. When we've talked to everybody is when it finished. And it was such a joy for me, man, to just spend time with everybody. And, you know, Phil Kagi, he is a dear friend, him and his wife and his kids. And, you know, we've known each other for years and still are very close. And this guy will do anything for anyone. He plays, he's legendary as a guitar player. But if he's got a neighbor that thinks he might have wrote a song, Phil would get with that guy and take him in the basement and record that song with him. He's that way. Always. It's genuine. People like that move me, to want to be like that. You know, my dad, my father was that way as a musician and a guitar teacher. I wanted to be just like him because he loved people so well. And then I think of the two greatest commandments, you know, love God with all your heart, mind, soul, strength, and love your neighbor. And the next part is, as you love yourself, if you can't look in the mirror and feel pretty good about how God made you, you're going to have a hard time loving others. So it's not about being proud or conceited or stuck up or it's not about that. It's about knowing that God made all of us uniquely, wonderfully, fearfully. And we got to be able to like how God made us, you know, to love other people as well. So, yeah, it's great. I mean, I love it. I just love people. Listen, my father, he would go, I take him to the grocery store later in life to get his groceries. And, you know, he'd buy a pack of frozen sausage. And by the time he got out of there talking to people, they'd be defrosted. I mean, that was my father. It was, people were number one with him, you know, and it's just, oh my gosh, that's the richest thing. I'm not going to wish at the end when I'm, you know, when I'm at that point in life where it's about over, I'm not going to wish that I played my bass more. I may wish that I talked and loved on more people more. That's where my heart is. And I think I feel you have that same wiring. And I know a lot of people watching this podcast can relate to that. We're not better than anybody else. We're just trying to live, all of us, the way God has made us to live, you know.
And we're going to talk a little bit about the other band that Rick is a part of. And it is called the Blues Council. And the interesting about this, the Blues Council, is this originated from band members getting together after playing shows and just jamming it out and making connections. And if you go to Rick Kua's website, which is Rick Kua, R-I-C-K, I'm typing as I go, Rick Kua, C-U-A, .com. And on Rick's page, he has a link to the Blues Council. And this is really cool because the Blues Council is made up of artists that Rick has interacted with. So just looking at the rundown here, guitar, Tom Lane, he was with in Orleans, which was Rick's original band. He's also been with Michael W. Smith, Michael English, Matt Redman, Tim Hughes, Chris Tomlin, Phil Keaggy, Will McFarlane. He's been with Bonnie Raitt, Wilson Pickett, Etta James, Toby Keith, Waylon Jennings, Tammy Wynette, like, hello, Tony Hooper, also on guitar, Michael W. Smith, Brian Duncan, Rick Kua himself, on drums, Anthony Morea, Steve Vai, Taylor Swift, Toby Mac, Amy Grant, Kip Winger, I love Kip Winger, so many cool things, Edmund Rivera, Bob James, Larry Correll, Harry Belafonte, come on, right? That's amazing. And then Rick, obviously himself, with Phil Keaggy, Randy Stonehill, and many others. So again, this is a group of guys that get together and just jam together and create great music. Amazing. Amazing to watch. So I'll put links in the show notes to this, but we get a little bit on the topic of talking about Phil Keaggy in particular here, and Rick's connection with Phil, and a little bit about Phil, because if you've never heard of Phil Keaggy, I'll do an episode just on Phil in the future. Amazing guitar player, extraordinaire. So anyways, let's jump back into the discussion about the Blues Council here with Rick Kua.
Yep. No, they're great. And you know, they're all the Blues Council guys. We just did a record recently that capped up a decade, 09 to 2019. And this is 20 tracks from Blues Council. And I mean, the percussionist and I have played together since the 70s and the rest of us, all of us, 25 years at least. And it's the sweetest fellowship, but that was really a cool project as well. And you know, another record that I want to mention, only because it's a favorite solo record of mine, was one I did called Won't Fade Away. I don't know if you've heard that one, but that record has got some great tracks on it.
So this Won't Fade Away, Rick's talking about, let's listen to the title track, Won't Fade Away, from the album Won't Fade Away. Also includes All Over Me, King of My World, I Love My Life, Halls of Heaven, How I Love Your Name, Sweet Communion, Captivate, For the Love of My King, Mercy Seat, I Do Love You, Be God. So many great songs on this album. Again, I'll have, you can check it out on Spotify, you can check it out with the links in the show notes, but Won't Fade Away. Rick Kua. So let's do Won't Fade Away. Here we go on the Add to My Playlist podcast. Rick is bringing it up, so let's listen to it right here on the podcast. So go ahead and hit that little heart button on your playlist.
The fact of being who or what a person is called identity. And many times we get our identities out of those things we do. Like for me, hey, I'm a musician, or somebody else is a doctor, or somebody else is a pastor or a lawyer or whatever it is. But we know as Christians, our identity really comes from Christ. And that is, it's great, the things we do, but our inner identity needs to come from Him. And along with that thought is, what are you going to be known for in and throughout your life? That thought to me is something that I've really pondered on, because I'm thinking, I want to be known for stuff that represents Christ, godly stuff. When I was playing in local bands up in New York, we would play in these places and all kinds of characters would come in. There was this one guy that came in. We'd play this club called the Little Big Man. It was in Utica, New York,
long, narrow, big stage, black lights. It was the typical 70s thing, you know, smells of patchouli in the air. And on the dance floor, there was this tall, willowy guy that would come in, and he would, we'd be playing David Bowie and Mott the Hoopla, and this guy would be moving in these real fluid moves, just dancing all by himself, and he'd have his drink in his hand. And at one point, when he'd finish his drink and he's still dancing, he'd eat the glass, and he'd start bite by bite to eat that glass and crunch that glass so he could, you know, it was like a sideshow act. And to this day, when me and my buddies ever get together, we talk about, hey, remember that guy, that glass eater guy? So what's he going to be known for? He could be the nicest guy in the world, but all I know about him was he knew how to eat a glass without getting hurt. And then there's a guy, Freddie Critella, was another friend of mine. There's a million of these kind of people in my life, and I'm sure in yours too. Freddie owned an Italian restaurant. It was called Critella's. Whenever we walked in this place, we'd get a seat. Freddie would come out from the kitchen. He had his apron on. He had sauce stains all over. We'd call it his medals. And he'd pull up a chair and he'd sit down at the table with us, and he'd tell us stories, and we'd laugh. He drove my kids crazy because, you know, they're thinking, Dad, let's just eat and get out of here. But Freddie was a kind, warm guy, and he would hang out at that table. And that kindness, I'll never forget. I'm going to remember him for that. My father was another guy. He was a photographer and a musician. And in his later years in life, he would walk through the neighborhood, and he would take pictures of people. And he would pull out his little spiral notebook, get their names and addresses. They actually gave it to him. They weren't creeped out by this. And he would send them these pictures. And long after he went to heaven, people would say, man, I'll never forget, your father would take a picture of us, and he actually mailed it to us. You know, guys, kindness is not quickly forgotten. And it's something that if we spend our lives being kind to others and letting that Christ-like feature be part of our identity, that's going to go a long way. There's many things, many scriptures that speak about this as well. John 13:35, men will know we are disciples of Jesus by our love for one another. Let's do that, right? The two greatest commandments, love God, love one another. That's on my refrigerator, scrolls on my computer screen. I love that because I want to be like that in my life. I want to love people to the point that when they see me, they see God. I don't always get it right, but I do my best. So let's know that we're made to do good stuff for the kingdom of God. That's our identity.
Back, that was Won't Fade Away. Rikua was mentioning this album. That was the title track from the album, so thanks for adding that to your playlist. And let's pick up the conversation again with Rick as we're closing off the episode together. Again, great episode with Rick. Check out Rikua.com for more information. Here we go. So Rick is just sharing a little bit more about the band Blues Council and his thoughts on his fellow players in the group. Here we go with Rick.
Tony Mora, Anthony Mora, the drummer with Blues Council, produced it with me, for me. And that's a fun record as well. But it's because of all these guys.
Yeah. And we talked earlier at the beginning about legacy, and your legacy of your music lives on. We can hit play on these songs and go back in time and remember you up on stage playing the song and signing the autograph and speaking to people and being a real person off stage. And that legacy continues through your written word and the music that you've been gifting us over the years. So again, Rick, I count it an honor to talk to you again. This is not the first time we've spoken, but, it's been a few years between, but.
Oh, you know, it's the fellowship that we have together, you know, and, one of the guitar player's wife calls this our men's fraternity, you know. So, And that's totally it. But, oh, gee, I so appreciate you taking the time to invite me. I'm honored to be with you on this podcast. And
I just want to thank you again for the music you've created. I'm going to go back now and listen to everything again because we've chatted. But that's why I wanted to have you on the podcast as well, to talk music and just to thank you for the many, many, many things that you've done. And going through your website again, we'll talk about that, rickhua.com. But if you go there, you can just look at Blues Council and look at the band members and who they've played with. I was shocked with the names that popped up there and the talent that was in that group. So, and I love that this all happened from a jam session. After everyone came off the stage, you guys got together and this just kind of grew from there. What a great story. What a great story.
Thank you so much for reminding me about some of those wonderful days up in Canada.
Oh, yeah.
Doing those shows and going to Swiss Chalet. eating the poutine and all of that stuff.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Well, anytime, David. God bless you and everybody in your audience out there.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you for being part of the podcast. Everyone, please, again, go check out Rick Kua. RickCua.com. Rick, thank you so much for being here. Awesome.